and praise to God. I just hope that in some way, is this time for children's worship? No, not yet. Oh Lord, you never let go. I just hope that in some way that encouraged you. You just provided a moment again in which you were assured the arms of the everlasting God with his unfailing grace and love were embracing you. But I also know that if your life is very similar or very comparable to my life, there are things going on in your heart, things going on in your mind, things going around you that you want to bring before the very presence of God. I just invite you to take a couple moments now and just together as a body of Christ, as a people of the Lord Jesus Christ, just put yourself in the very presence of God as we together come before him in a time of confession. I think the confession, there we go. Just want you to follow along in the presence of our sovereign, almighty, everlasting God with his unfailing love. Before him, Lord, you speak in unexpected places, at unexpected times, with unexpected voices. We are not always sure how to listen. We are not always certain who to follow. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our thoughts. You know our weaknesses. You know our failures. And you know our sins. We wonder how you could love us as we are. Forgive us when we doubt your unfailing love. Open our hearts to your love. Be blunt with us. Be direct. Be clear. Be candid. Wash away our jealousy and greed. Pour your cleansing grace over us again. Create in us a deep desire to love you, O Lord, because you are the one who made us in your image. We are fearfully, we are wonderfully made. O Lord, pour out your blessings over us again and fill us full with the fullness of your love. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and help us to walk with you, even when we do not know where to turn. Because you are our Father, and because you love us as your children, in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. In the presence of our God, in whatever is going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life, hear these words from the God who says, I rescued you from the bondage of sin, and in Christ I gave you the promise of new life. Therefore, you shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony. And you shall not covet. And whatever those commands of God in the direction of new life, in whatever way that those commands touch your life, hear these words of your Lord and of your Savior. Follow me, says Jesus. Follow me and love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Follow me, says Jesus. Therefore, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel and live in peace. Let's come to our God in prayer. O Lord our God, we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And you are the God who leads and you are the God who guides. And we ask, O Father, this morning that as we come before you in prayer, that you may pour out upon us your unfailing love. For there are those among us here this morning that needs a word of encouragement, and that needs to be lifted up by your sovereign grace, and that needs to be lifted up with words of encouragement that excites us again and fills us with a sense of enthusiasm for the way that things are in our life. And we thank you for jobs, and we thank you for opportunities to use our skills and abilities. And we pray, O Father, that as you pour out your blessings of your unfailing love upon us, that we may always be those that know that you are our Father, and that you are our, and that we are your children. And we ask, Father, that you will equip us this day as we worship in your presence, that you will equip us and enable us to be your servants in a broken world, that when we go back to our places of responsibility, that we may have within us and above us and beside us, that we may have the very presence of Jesus Christ, that in the decisions we make, in the things that we do, in the communications we have and the words we choose, that everything we say and everything we do may reflect the very presence of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you pour out upon us your forgiving mercies. For there are those among us here this morning, O Father, that come before you in repentance, in sorrow for things that we have said, in sorrow for things that we have done, in sorrow and repentance for the way that we have lived our life, the choices that we have made. And we ask, O Father, that in your forgiving mercy, that you renew us, that you restore us, and that you refresh us by your grace. And Father, we ask as well that you pour out upon us your amazing grace. And we ask, Father, then that we, as we come before you in praise and worship, that you hear our prayers before you. Prayers for Nancy Kamiga. We ask, Father, that you continue to renew her strength and provide her measures of healing from day to day. Lift her up and pray, Father, that as she recovers from surgery, that her recovery will go without any complications. And Father, we pray as well, we lift before you Jamie Boersma and her family and the death of her father. And Lord, we pray that as the family gathers to remember the life of one that they dearly loved, that your word will be spoken, words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of hope, words of your promise of everlasting life. Remind them again, O Father, that of your covenant love and of your covenant grace. But Lord, we just pray that you come closer, Jamie Boersma. Be her Lord, be her shepherd, be with him. We ask, Father, this. And Lord, we pray as well for Roger and Mary, Johanna Voss. We ask, Father, that again, as they grieve the death of a grandfather, that you will again speak your word to them in such a way that they know that the comfort that you promise in a time of mourning and sorrow will be promises that you speak to them in a very personal, a very intimate way, that they may hear your voice and know, Lord, in a time of grief and sorrow, that you hear their prayers. And Lord, we pray for Eileen Meyer. Lord, we know how disturbing it can be to receive a diagnosis that suddenly transforms everything about life. And you know, Lord, that even when there is a threat to life itself and a threat to health, how quickly that can focus our minds and thoughts, but how brief our life can be. And so, Lord, we pray that you give to Eileen the promise and to Dale as well, the promise that you have already provided the means of healing, the means of renewing and restoring and refreshment. That as she undergoes therapy, Lord, that your hand will be in those therapies. Your hand will be upon Eileen to uphold her, to encourage her. And Lord, we surround her with our prayers, and we ask, O Father, that you lift her up as prayers of encouragement, lift her up before your throne of mercy. And Lord, we pray for Diana McFarlane, for her daughter and unborn child. And today, Lord, we lift in prayer all of those in this nation and around the world, for those who see the life of their unborn child threatened in one way or another. Lord, we pray that you watch over the life of the unborn children. Watch over them and protect them from all danger, from all harm. Lord, we pray for those who find themselves in circumstances of life that makes it very difficult for them in a moment in their thoughts and mind and heart. Makes it very difficult for them to choose to give life to an unborn child and the possibilities of pursuing an abortion. Lord, direct their thoughts, direct their hearts to your word and to your life and to your hope. But Lord, we pray for Diana's daughter and her unborn child. We pray, Lord, that you watch over this daughter and this unborn child in a very personal way. And Lord, we pray for Joy, daughter Eve, and we ask again, Father, that you watch over her as she undergoes therapy. We pray, Lord, that you will provide the means of healing and measures of grace that she may know that you are her God, that you are her shepherd. And even though she walks through a valley at this point in her life, Lord, stand beside her. Never let her go. Lord, we continue our prayers for Drew Geiser. He's been through such an ordeal in life. And from surgery to surgery, from event to event, from circumstance to circumstance, you have been faithful to him. And Lord, we pray that you continue to lift him up and to surround him with your grace and mercy. Lord, we pray for Sonia Zambrano. We ask, Lord, that we as a congregation, we as a body of Christ, may continually, day after day, surround her with our prayers. Be her Lord and be her shepherd. Lord, we continue our prayers for LaVon Hammonds. We ask, Father, that you lift her up, that you encourage her, that you will even give her days of rejoicing, that the therapy that she is now undergoing is producing some amazing results. And to that end, O God, we give you thanks and praise for hearing our prayers for LaVon. Continue to encourage her from day to day. Lord, we also pray for B. Roskam and for the wife of husband Tony. Lord, you know that as the family gathers for the funeral, that again, stories will be told, stories of faith, stories of your faithfulness to them. Lord, in a time of gathering, may the stories they tell again lead to the reminder that no matter the circumstances of life, that your unfailing love surrounds us day after day. But Lord, we also pray for this congregation, for the elders, for the deacons. We pray for the committees. We pray for the children in education. But Lord, this church, this congregation is in the process of searching for a pastor. Lord, we pray that you bless the effort, bless the work, bless the things that are being done. Hear the prayers of this congregation, Lord. Lead and guide them. For we know your promise to us that wherever we are as a body of Christ, there you are. That when we gather to worship you, you are here present with us. When we lift our prayers to you are the one who hears our prayers. But now, Lord, we take a moment as well in the quiet of this hour, for we are here as husbands and wives. We're here as parents and children. And each one of us is a life story, O Father. And we ask now that you hear our prayers from our soul, from our mind, from our heart. Lord, hear our prayers as your child. Hear our prayers as a child of God. Hear our prayers, O Father. Hear our prayers before your throne of mercy. Pour out your grace and love. Fill us full with the fullness of who you are. that we may know that you have breathed into us the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hear us, O God, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This time, just invite the children. There have a time for children's worship. We just invite you to gather here in front with the flag. And it's our prayer that as you gather for children's worship, that you may hear the stories that God has to tell you and may know that you are a child of God as well. We want to follow you with our prayers too. Very good. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, just invite you to turn to your Bibles to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 9. To the book of Numbers, chapter 9. It's one of those stories that, one of the books in the Bible that perhaps we don't read very often. But this is a situation in the life of the God's people that I think is very interesting, and I think it's still kind of towards the beginning of a year. And I would like to use this really as a reminder that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, the Lord is always there to lead and to guide. Numbers 9, I'm going to begin reading with verse 15, and if you have your Bibles in front of you, you notice as we read this that it seems like God's word is repeating something and repeating something and repeating something and repeating something again. And whenever you read the word of God and it seems like there's repetition after repetition after repetition, you know it's God's way of saying, you really need to pay attention to this. This is really important. This is really significant. This is really profound. You need to pay attention to this. You need to pay attention to this. You really need to pay attention to this. So as I read this, pay attention to this. Numbers chapter 9, begin with verse 15. And God's people, just to set the scene, God's people are in the wilderness, and they're about to leave Mount Sinai. They've received the Ten Commandments, and they're now about to embark on their wilderness journeys. Hear the word of the Lord. On the day of the tabernacle, the tent of testimony was set up. And the cloud covered it, and from evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. And whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. And whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. At his command, they encamped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. And sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only for a few days, and at the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Did you hear the repetition? They encamped, they set out. They encamped, they set out. They encamped, they set out. But tomorrow, as we make our way back home, we have to decide whether to take Interstate 35 North or Interstate 80 West. What direction do you think we should go? Or maybe we don't want to go home. Maybe we want to add to Minneapolis, or maybe down south a little bit warmer to Kansas City. Have you ever been in a life situation that you might have asked the question, Lord, what direction do you want me to go? Should I get married? Should I go into the military? Should I pursue medicine? Should I pursue the ministry? Lord, what direction do you want me to go? And I would imagine for those in college, it's not really a light in their situation, whether it's one way this way and another way the other way. For those in college, there's five ways in this direction and seven roads in that direction. Lord, which way do you want me to go? But I would imagine for each one of you that as you ask the question, Lord, how do I know what direction you want my life to take? Or maybe you can make it more specific. Lord, how do I know your will, your direction, your way in the daily details of life, from day to day to day? How do I know your way, your direction, your desires? Or maybe you can even make it with some intensity when you face a very difficult life situation. Lord, how do I know what your will is when I face a very difficult life situation? We all know the words of Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. We say, Lord, but sometimes I really don't know what that means. There's a place in the Bible in Numbers 9 that I enjoy, that is a blessing to me for the very reason that I like to create pictures in my mind of what it is that God is saying. And I think Numbers chapter 9 gives us a very clear picture in one way or another what it means to follow God, to walk with God in faith. As the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, God led them by a pillar of cloud by day. And I have always wondered, as God led them by a pillar of cloud by day, the next slide, if you will, led them by a pillar of cloud by day, I wonder what the cloud looked like. How high was that cloud? How wide? Did it spin like some sort of a whirlwind? Or did it just stay there in kind of a stationary way? And what was it like to follow that cloud? And that night, the children of Israel had the pillar of fire there standing over them. And the end of Exodus 13 says, whether by day or by night, they could travel by day or by night, always following the cloud. And I wonder it really be kind of nice if we had kind of a personal cloud in our life. But that precisely brings us to the point in our life, whether the cloud stayed for a day, for a week, or for a year, whatever the cloud did, if the cloud moved, they would move, they would walk, they would follow the cloud. And if the cloud stayed, they would encamp, set up their tents, and just stay there for a while. But that leads us then to the first question in our life. How difficult it is to really know whether to stay or whether to sit out, whether to walk or sit down. That walking with God sometimes makes it very difficult, not trying to know how to live one day at a time, day by day, moment by moment. Take a look, if you have your Bibles open, to verse 17. Whether the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out, and whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. Never really knowing from day to day whether they would be walking or whether they would stay, whether they would be going, moving on, or just sitting there, standing there, staying still for one more day. What's it like for you from day to day? of trying to determine God's will in your life. That walking with God is a clear picture here then of following the cloud. And I think Psalm 119 again gives us a clear idea, a picture of what that means, with Psalm 119 verse the next slide there, if you will, verse 109, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The picture there is of a person holding a lamp and able to see only one step ahead of himself into the darkness. He takes a step, and the light moves forward one more step. Takes another step, and another step, and another step, and the light always shows only the light for one more step. And quite often, following God is like that. He ordinarily shows us only one step at a time. And sometimes in my life, I want to know, Lord, what am I going to be doing 5 years from now? Where's my life going to be 10 years from now? And just reading through the prayer requests this morning in the bulletin and knowing some other things going on in your lives, I just want to share with you, when I was diagnosed with cancer some years ago, I certainly asked that question, Lord, I would like to know right now how much longer I'm going to live. I want to know how many days you have ordained for me. I want to know what's at the top of the stairs. I want to know what's up there. College students, that's a question. Where am I going to be 5 years from now? What am I going to be doing? The Lord ordinarily only shows us one step at a time. And that requires a lot of faith. Following the cloud, whether it moves or whether it stays. The faith that enables you to say, Lord, if I stay here for a while, that's fine. But if your cloud is moving and moving me forward, I'm okay with that as well. Lord, whatever you want me to do, whether to settle or to, whether to encamp or whether to set out, I'm good with whatever you want me to do. Oh, secondly, walking with God requires a faith. The slide just before this one. Go back one slide. To follow him, whether or not it makes any sense. Take a look at verse 22. Whether the cloud stopped for 2 days, a month, a year, the Israelites would remain in camp, but when it lifted, they would set out. Just want to focus upon that for just a little bit, what that really means. How God requires a faith. Have you ever asked the question then, should I stay or should I go? Maybe you've asked a question about your job. Lord, is it time for me to look for a new job? Is it time for me to really look for another situation of life? What, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, I confess to you, and I hope you'll appreciate kind of the humor of this, wouldn't it be nice if each one of us had kind of a personal little cloud that no one else could see? Just kind of direct us where to go, what to do. You know, maybe someday you see this little cloud floating over your head and it's kind of moving you out of the office, into the hallway, out of the building, and you say, well, obviously this little cloud of mine now is leading me to look for another job. Or you're sitting there at a breakfast table one morning and you suddenly see the little cloud and you're thinking to yourself, now, should I clean the garage or should I go to the Iowa University basketball game or Iowa State basketball game? What should I do? I wonder, what should I do? Or you're sitting there at the breakfast table and you're wondering, should I clean the house or should I go to Jordan Creek Mall to do some shopping? Maybe some serious situations of life. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, you're facing something that could be life-threatening. And I think we should begin some procedures. Then that profound moment. You're asking yourself, Lord, what should I do? Should I go ahead with the procedures, or should I decide not to pursue the procedures? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? And sometimes it's a very difficult decision to know exactly whether to go or whether to stay. And notice in verse 22, whether the cloud stayed for a day, 2 days, a week, a year, they would stay there. But if the cloud lifted and set out, they would move forward. Now, faith requires a willingness to move forward. Just imagine that you've been in the wilderness with these people in Numbers chapter 9. You know they walked through the wilderness for 40 years. Just imagine that you've been in the wilderness now for 27 years, and you really don't know how many more years you're going to be walking through the wilderness, but you've been walking through the wilderness a long time. And finally, the cloud stops. You say, well, it's about time. It's about time we settled here. You're south of nowhere and 3 miles from the end of the world. It's hot and dry and rocky and barren. But finally you get a place where you can settle down for a while. So you set up your tent. You build a little corral for your animals. Next morning the cloud lifts. You say, Lord, what are you doing? Life is good. I got a good job. I enjoy where I live. Life is good. It's to the point in my life, it just can't get any better, Lord. I don't want anything to change in my life. Next morning, the cloud lifts. He said, Lord, I don't want anything to change in my life right now. I want everything to stay the way it is. He says, no, we're going to make some changes. We're going to move on. Or look at it from the other side. Sometimes walking with God requires a faith that is willing to stand still. Maybe now you've been in camp for a day, for a couple days, for a week. Maybe you've been in camp now for a year. And you know how it is with the older people. They just grab another cup of coffee and they sit around the fire and they talk about things that older people talk about. And maybe they around the campfire, they say, you know, weren't we here last year? Weren't we here 5 years ago? Isn't this the same place we camped some time ago? I see the same trees. I see the same hills. I see the same oasis. Yeah, this is the same place. They talk and talk and talk and talk. But that next generation, the children, the kids, the teenagers, they're saying, yeah, it's really getting boring around here. There's nothing to do. We don't have any internet access here, and we just need to move on. It's just time to move on. It's time to make some changes in life. It's just time to go. It says, no, we just need to stand still for a while. We just need to stay here. You just need to learn what it means to follow God, to follow His direction, to follow His way, to follow His desires. That's tough. It reminds me, I just want to put this kind of in front of you, how this uncertainty, how this confusion sometimes can lead us into those moments of confusion, perplexity. You know the little children's Proverbs. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard, and when she got there to get her poor dog a bone, and when she got there, the cupboard was bare. Well, there's two ways of looking at that. He who hesitates is lost. What's the other side of that? Look before you leap. The perplexity of life. Should you hesitate? knowing that if you hesitate, you're going to lose the opportunity. Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know if I should move forward or if I should stand still. Well, I want to put this in the situation, the next slide, if you will. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, I want to show you how this applies in your life situation, wherever you are, in whatever way that you might have asked or are asking the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? For the third question is simply this. The third point is simply this. That walking with God requires a faith that enables us to see that cloud in the wilderness as the very presence of Jesus Christ in the New Testament revelation. To rejoice as those who worship Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus who says, I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That cloud in the wilderness was really an Old Testament theophany of the very presence of God, very presence of Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world, Jesus says, at the time, the Feast of Tabernacles in the New Testament. Towards evening, as darkness is approaching, they would light the candles in the courtyard of the temple, and the candelabra would infuse the whole courtyard with light. And Jesus says at that moment, as they were lighting the candles, but I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, take that image, I am the light of the world, back into Numbers chapter 9. Imagine that you're walking with God. Imagine that you're trying to follow the pillar of cloud. One day you get the thought, you know, I think I want to head south. And the cloud is moving north. And I just want you to know that would put you in a very difficult, dangerous, uncertain life situation. Or in the middle of the night you get one of these midnight revelations. And you decide, you know, tomorrow, I think I'm going to head east. In the morning, you get up and you see the pillar moving west. And you realize suddenly that unless you have a mind and heart change of mind and change of heart, you are going to be in serious situation and serious trouble. And all of that, I just want to draw attention now to your walk with Jesus. The Lord who says to you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. If you have your Bibles, can I show you how difficult that is to really know how that works in Psalm 107? If you have your Bibles, Psalm 107. How difficult that is. If you don't have your Bible, just listen here. But Psalm 107, I just want to point some things out. Psalm 107 was written as a time when God's people who never really learned how to follow the cloud, how to walk with God. Psalm 107 was written after the exiles come back from Babylon. And the psalmist kind of records the history of their failures. Psalm 107, verse 4. Some of God's people wandered in the desert land. Verse 10. Some of them sat in darkness and deepest gloom. Verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. Verse 23. Others went out to the sea in ships. The psalmist is saying they would go any direction that they wanted to go in life except following the presence of God. But I want to draw your attention to what Psalm 107 says. Going back again to verse 6. Those who wandered in the desert wastelands, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. And then in verse 13, those who sat in darkness and deepest gloom, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them and brought them out of the darkness. And then in verse 19, those who became fools to their rebellious ways, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. And then verse 28, those who went out to the sea and shift, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. And in every situation, the psalmist says, let them give thanks to the Lord. That no matter what direction they went astray, when they turned back to follow God, he was always there to lead and to guide. One more place, Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. And I want to apply this in a couple of ways now to your life personally and then to your life as a congregation of Christ. Your life personally. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 5, put aside, put away, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Verse 7, you used to follow these little clouds of evil passions and desires. You used to walk in these things. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. I think all of us sometimes have little clouds floating above our heads. Little clouds that want to lead and to guide us astray from following God. Little clouds of words of anger, words that cut other people down, words that we say to one another that are intended to hurt, intended to destroy. Jesus says, no, follow me. Little clouds of sexual immorality, impurity. Little clouds that want us to go in this direction, any direction but other than following Jesus. Whether it's premarital, extramarital, or any other kind of sexual perversion. Jesus says, no, follow me. And all around the world there is little clouds. You ought to take advantage wherever you can. Take advantage to your own, to the disadvantage of others. Steal, rob, whatever you can to make success out of your life. Do whatever you need to do to succeed. No matter what happens to the other person. He says, no, follow me. And again, little clouds of deceit and deception. He says, no, do not bear false witness. Do not lie. Little clouds of coveting. Oh, if only I had a Lamborghini. If only I had a 162-inch television set. If only I had this or that. If only I could have everything in life. He says, no, follow me. I just want to ask you personally, what does it mean to you to live in such close relationship to Jesus that you're willing to follow him no matter what other little clouds around you are enticing, encouraging, tempting you to go this way or that way or any other way? How does it go in your life? I challenge you. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. That's his diagnosis of all those little clouds around us. They only lead you into darkness, into the ways of death. But I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have everlasting life. And just one more thing. This is the last slide. Walking with God requires a lot of faith. And I just want to hold this congregation up in prayer. In the process that you are now undergoing through a pastor's search, with all the questions that you ask, with all the things that you pursue, with all the things that you pull together, I just want you to know that God is leading and God is guiding, that God guides us in the adversities of life. God guides us in the blessings of life. God guides us in the confusions of life. God guides us in all the disturbances of life. God guides us and leads us, and he will lead us in the way that he would have us go. And he's the one who says, I will never let you go. You are my children, you are my sons and daughters, and I will never let you go. And that's God's promise to you in this coming year. And again, I just want to, just in closing, just hold that picture in front of you, the cloud that led the people of God in the wilderness. And take that picture in your mind and now use it in the very words of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the light of the world. Walking with God in faith. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, as we gather in worship today, there are those who are wondering about medical procedures. What direction? What way to go? There are some here this morning in life situations, wondering whether to go left or right, wondering which way to go. Lord, there are some young people here today. Wherever they are in school, they are beginning to ask the question, Lord, what would you have me do? What path, what road should I take? Lord, in whatever way we are asking the question, what way would you have us go, Lord? I just pray for those who are asking the questions, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation of life, that you would hold your word in front of them today, before each mind, before each heart, before each life, and speak to them the words that penetrate to the very core of life itself. The words of Jesus, I am the light of the world. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. Lord, be with each parent. Be with each child. Be with each young person. Be with those at the other end of life, those in advancing years. Be with them, Lord. Be with each one. As you lead and as you guide. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just invite you to open your hands in thanksgiving to God. Our offerings this morning for the ministry of Dort College, as we sing together, present your gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, I think the fellowship folders are also in the chairs, and we just are glad that you're here to worship with us today. Just invite you to sign the fellowship folder binders, and rejoice together as God's people.